This is a CK to Z news update. The Cortez Island Death Caring Collective began its third annual educational series of monthly meetings on October 5th, at the end of a year that saw the first two natural burials in recent history on the island. The collective formed when resident Margaret Rashour, together with four other founding members, brought the idea of community-led death care to Cortez, following her involvement with the group Way to Go on Quadra Island, which has been running for 8 years. Today, the collective on Cortez describes itself as, quote, a group of folks who are enthusiastic about opening up conversations about death, dying, and grief, end quote. Rashour explains that
we found that it's the darker, the longer evenings that people are more open to talking about death and dying. And whereas in the summer, when people are out in their gardens and they have company and life is happening in such a big way. I mean, death still happens, of course, but that doesn't seem to be the time to educate ourselves about it. Whereas the hibernating seasons, so September, October through to March, April, those are the months when we have monthly meetings where we get together and share things that have come up with us regarding death and dying, where we educate ourselves and each other, and where we bring changes possibly to our community and try to be a source of information and education, and also maybe help them with alternative ways of navigating death and dying and grief.
The meeting on October 5th included a guest presentation from Priya Huffman, who spoke about the practices and rituals around death and dying in a Jewish community.
And the preface to that is, in our culture or lack of culture, many of us have no practices to rely upon. So we go with the status quo, which is a commercialized or institutional way of dealing with death and dying. Any culture seems to have a richer set of practices and rituals around death than we normally do.
The traditional versus modern.
Yes. She talked about body tending because she said that was the part that she was involved in. Particularly. And the intention behind it all is to bring them back to the day they were born. So purify their bodies, remove anything that's not natural. So even like taking nail polish off, really reverting them back to that newborn stage and returning them to the earth. What she described was all so beautiful and touching and honoring. But when they tend the body, they may wash the hands and describe what work this person may have done in the world. When they wash the belly, they talk about the womb and blessed be the womb that's born, and then the children's names. Blessed be the feet that walked, maybe where they walked. Just sounded so beautiful and tender.
Quite poetic as well.
Yes.
Would you take a moment to speak about which topics you've had in the past? And then if there are some that you would like to bring that haven't been covered? I know you said you are looking for guest presenters.
Natural burials was a big topic that was brought into the group that really created the changes that are happening in the community. The idea of tending to your own at death was what inspired the whole community-led death care that we now have in the community. So a group of volunteers who come alongside and support and guide families who really want to do things for themselves. We talk about MAID, medical assistance in dying, because there's been a lot of legislation around that that keeps evolving and trying to keep up with the changes. There was Lawrence Cole workshop that some of us attended to do with grief that was really, really helpful and inspiring. What other topics? We were just talking about maybe compassionate communication or nonviolent communication, how to really listen and be present and show up without our own agenda. It would be great to have a presentation on that. We had the Jewish end of life practices. It would be wonderful if we knew about the practices of other cultures, because I think learning about them really enriches everyone's knowledge around death. And we have such a limited view of what can be done. A lot of people know what is currently being done and don't like it, but to find out what other cultures are doing can be really helpful. Organ donation is something else people are interested in that would be good for us all to know more about. And donating bodies for science. So some really practical things, and then near-death experiences. That would be fascinating. So I think whatever people have to offer that's death and dying and grief related, we're so illiterate in our culture with all those things. I believe there's so much knowledge in our community. It's just a matter of knowing who the people are and bringing them in and them not being intimidated by having to give this elaborate presentation when really it's just a conversation that they start and other people engage them in and it goes from there.
She also spoke about the natural or green burial approach that the collective was able to begin this year.
2021 is the first time that we've had just a shrouded body going directly into the earth, into a shallower grave, as is what happens in a natural burial.
This happened at the new cemetery in Whaletown, where an expansion had been approved for green burials, and the collective is now working on an application to designate that section specifically for this purpose.
Once we get that approved, then it'll be a natural burial in a natural burial cemetery. And Manson's Landing has just been approved for natural burials, but we still need to get a road punched into the back there before it's really accessible.
Could you give an overview of what a natural green burial entails?
The whole idea is to return this body to the earth as simply and naturally as possible, where it will contribute to new life. And where it will nourish the new life and protect the new life, because it's going to be in a designated cemetery. So there's going to be no development on that piece of land. So the trees can just grow wild. So in a natural burial, the body is unembalmed. The clothing that a person wears, if they wear clothing, is biodegradable. They are put in a shroud made of cotton or linen or wool, something that's biodegradable. Their body is wrapped in this. They could also be put in a biodegradable box made of hopefully local materials, hemlock or pine or something that decomposes easily. And then they're laid to rest in the earth. They're laid in a shallower than the 6-foot grave, the 4-foot grave, because there's more microbial action near the surface of the soil.
And my understanding is it's not really a marked grave, but is there some kind of a mapping behind the scenes so that you know that this spot is taken?
Yes, yeah, certainly it's mapped very well on paper, as needs to be with every grave. It will be marked. The two graves, we're still working on what kind of marking we will have as a standard, and then families can create their own marking if they wish. As long as it's biodegradable, a rock with a name engraved on it is fine. What we're going to probably start with is just a piece of driftwood with the person's name on it. And if in 10 or 20 years that becomes part of the landscape, that's fine. If there's still people that want to have a marker, they can renew it. But eventually it'll all just become part of the landscape. But there will be a communal memorialization area. So there will be some kind of a structure built in each cemetery with more permanent markings of who's buried in the cemetery and hopefully a little bit about them. That's what some of us have been talking about. Rather than, you know, on a tombstone, there's just a name and maybe an inscription. It would be wonderful to have maybe a binder with stories of the people that the family wants to remember them with, so that people can sit and remember people, can also kind of peruse. I know I love to walk through cemeteries and just look at the tombstones and imagine the lives and the stories of the people buried there. Well, we can actually have a little bit more information on each person in this communal mobilization area. That would be really honoring to who they are and the life they lived and what they contributed and what maybe hopefully they want people to remember them with.
And what's coming up for the Death Caring Collective?
We will have a workshop in November. We're still putting that together, but it is for community-led death care volunteers or potential volunteers or just anyone in the community that wants to learn more about what it means to take on the tasks related to death and dying as a family themselves or as a group of friends. Because, you know, we can talk about death being a part of life, but until it really is experientially, until we're actually including it in the stream of life, it's just words. So to actually do this for ourselves, for each other in a community, then death becomes a part of life. And I think for anybody who's experienced that,
they talk about it, you know, when you do it with support, when you do it with knowledge, that it is so life affirming, that there are so many gifts embedded in that experience for people, that whoever becomes involved just says, I want to do more of this. It's really beautiful.
Matthew Kelly and Melanie Circle of Way to Go on Quadra Island wrote in the October 13th issue of The Bird's Eye that, quote, in talking more openly about death, dying, and grief, many of us have become more comfortable with these topics and, paradoxically, more open to life, end quote. You've been listening to an interview with Margaret Verschoor about community-led death care on Cortez Island.